Let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for that work of redemption. Thank you, Father, for that gift of salvation. Thank you, Father, for all that we are and you've made us to be in your Son, Jesus. We do ask and receive this morning that the burden of ignorance is dematerialized to your glory. Our hearts are receptive to receive the truth of God's word. There is no confusion as God's word is taught this morning. There is no confusion. Our hearts are receptive. There is no confusion this morning. We see the truth of God's word for what it is this morning. And at the end of this meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise be God. Yeah, so we'll continue along the line in which we started months ago. We started investigating scriptures about March this year. And we have looked at the first series, second series, Laying Foundation for Bible Study. And in this series 3A, we are doing a proper explanation, or trying to examine, we're trying to expound onto ourselves what you call water baptism. You know, we've laid almost 9-10 tracks, and we have 9 tracks on baptism, trying to clear as much gray areas as possible. So you would want to lay your hands on those teachings if you have missed out on any or you've not been following, because we've laid a lot of foundational teaching that is going to help and aid us in this series A, series B, and maybe most likely series C, which we are dealing with sacred cows and all those customs that things that we think cannot be explained from God's word. Yeah, so turn with me to 2 Timothy 3, or let's say 2 Timothy 2. Look at 2 Timothy 2 verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15. 2 Timothy 2 15. Paul says to Timothy, study to show thyself as one who is approved, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Yeah, we see that Paul was writing to the pastor of Ephesus, which is Brother Timothy, and we give certain instructions. Among these, we have the instruction to be a diligent student of the word, you know, and he should not be ashamed of it, rightly dividing the word of truth, you know. And so we've said that by extension, that is an instruction to us as saints. So as saints, we have to study God's word and find out what God's word means. You know, there is no portion of the scriptures like we've established in our previous series that would mean today what it never meant. Yeah, so the scriptures, the Bible, they have one meaning. We have to find out what that meaning is. Yeah, we have to rigorously study and try to enlighten ourselves to see what the Bible says for itself. We already established that the final authority over our life should be the Bible. What does the Bible say about this and that and this and this? Yeah, when it comes to doctrine, we establish all that we build our convictions on, strictly on the gospel, from scriptures rather. You know, as saints, when we come together, we know that the major, not in fact, let's not say it that way, the primary reason or primary or major purpose of coming to ourselves, to gather ourselves together as saints from scriptures, is for us to be edified and study God's word and see Christ. Do you understand? So we have come to a generation right now where we make it look like it's primary. That's like the primary, but it's secondary, which you now think about how to make money and how to make it in life and how to acquire and backfire and end up, you know, in the fire that is in the your desire and things like this, all those things. Yeah. So the reason, the purpose of the church is for saints. In fact, turn with me to Jeremiah. Look at Jeremiah 30. Look at something very interesting. Look at Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15. Look at Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 15. This was Jeremiah as a prophet giving a prophecy. Let me quickly show you something. What is the job of your pastor? The job of your pastor is solely one. Yeah. The job of your pastor is solely one. Yeah. He might want to be interested in your daily and personal life and your, you know, your activities and things like that. But why do we have the ministry gift? It is for one purpose. Yeah, your pastor is not the one called to teach you. Now you see, your pastor might be a business guru. Yeah, but when it comes to the gathering of saints, he is not called to use his business guru skills to teach you about how to do business. Yeah, look at Jeremiah 3:15. Look at one of the prophecies that Jeremiah said. Look at verse 14. Turn, O backsliding children. So this is like a prophecy, like an utterance, right? So turn, O backsliding children, said the Lord. That's an utterance, right? For I am married unto you. Yeah, you see, the marriage to God, the marriage union between Christ and church, is the greatest marriage of all time. Yeah, so when you see married to you, that will be figurative for what? Christ and the church. So, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I am married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you what? To Zion. What does Hebrew tell us? We are come to Mount Zion. Yeah, the city of the living God, where we have innumerable company of angels. Who are the angels there? The saints, you and I, messengers. Yeah, so look at it. So, O backsliding children, turn away, for I am married unto you. So look at what it says in verse 15. And I will give you pastors according to my heart. That's what we call ministry gifts. Look at it. Which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. What will the knowledge and understanding be in reference to? It will be about the great marriage he has spoken about in verse 14. You know, you can read contextually in Jeremiah and see all of that. So I will give you pastors according to my heart, yeah, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. So what is the pastor's responsibility? Is to feed you with knowledge and understanding concerning that great marriage, Christ and the church. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 quickly. Yeah, so as saints, we are called together to explain God's word, having our pastors lead us, and in their leading and in their laboring, we find our labor. So we labor, so their labor is to influence our labor. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 9. Now that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower part of the earth. Now he has ascended, but what is it? He also descended first. What was descending? Became a man. Yeah, look at verse 10. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, yeah, into the believer, that he might fill all things. Look at verse 11, Ephesians 4:11. And he gave some apostles, yeah, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers. What is the work of a pastor, prophet, teacher, evangelist, apostle? Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints. What did Jeremiah say? That will teach you and give you knowledge and understanding. Right? For the perfecting of the saints. What is perfecting of the saints? So the saints will come into full maturity of who they already are in Christ. Yeah? That will be in understanding and knowledge. Yeah? For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of faith. What is unity of faith? Till we all are saints, say the same thing. What is saying the same thing? Look at it. That is of the knowledge of the Son of God. So when Jeremiah 3 tells you to bring you into understanding and knowledge, what will it be in reference to? The knowledge and understanding of the Son of God. That is the knowledge and understanding of that great marriage between Christ and the church. Hallelujah. Look at 2 Peter. Look at 2 Peter 3. Look at 2 Peter 3 verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 18. Look at it. It says, but grow in grace, that is in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So what is growing in grace? It is growing in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So as saints, we are called to study God's word and see what God's word says concerning our lives, concerning our identity and who we are in Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, so today we'll just be revisiting the book of Acts on baptism. You know, we've laid a foundation, or we've laid several foundational teachings to show us that the book of Acts is a very interesting book. We've seen the use of baptism. We saw among the key points we looked at on Wednesday that in the epistles, rather in the four gospels, water baptism was at the forefront. Yeah, we have the baptism of the Holy Ghost as a promise. Yeah, seek ye first kingdom of God and righteousness. Acts shall be given unto you. Seek ye shall find out, speaking about the giving of the Holy Ghost. You know, I'll send to you a comforter, another comforter who will, yeah, be with you. Yeah, for if I go, he will come, and things like that. We've looked at all those things. Then we saw in the book of Acts, the one that was in the forefront was baptism of the Holy Ghost. Then water baptism of water, or water baptism rather, was behind. Hallelujah. Water baptism was behind, what baptism of the Holy Ghost was in front in the book of Acts. So it means that when you read the book of Acts, there are lots of times you see baptism. If you use the same mindset from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to visit Acts, knowing that water baptism was at the forefront in those four gospels, you might end up, you know, making a couple of mistakes here and there. Hallelujah. Yeah, so we are to critically examine that book of Acts. So that's what we're going to do today. Let's revisit that book of Acts and clear our doubts. You know, there are some questions we ask in ourselves. We read some portions of the book of Acts where it shows us baptism. You know, we try to give an answer to them, whether they spoke about water or baptism of the Holy Ghost. Some of them, we left them idle. Some of them were clear. So we're going to be looking at the use of baptism in the book of Acts. So remember, we already established that a saint, when establishing or examining God's word, he should remove and separate water and baptism in his head. You know, we said in our last teaching that if possible, pray about it and fast about it. Yeah, don't always think of baptism and think of water. Because not every time the word baptism was used in scriptures, spoke about water. We explained that already in scriptures. And we saw about six different uses of that word, baptism. Yeah, we saw that already. So we're going to examine what are they, the Holy Ghost. So sometimes when baptism was spoken about, it spoke about the Holy Ghost. Sometimes it spoke about fire. Sometimes it spoke about water. Sometimes it spoke about the work of Christ. Yeah, sometimes it spoke about what again? You know, purification and cleansing. And lastly, he spoke about preaching on a lot of occasions. Hallelujah. So look at, talk with me to the book of Acts chapter 2. Look at Acts chapter 2. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Look at Acts 2 verse 3. Hallelujah. Acts 2. Look at Acts 2 3. You see, and it says, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. Remember, if you had listened to our first two series, you would see that we established the use of figures of speech in the Bible. So when it says like as of fire, there was no fire that was seen at all. Yeah, there was no fire seen at all. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat upon each of them. There was no fire on their head. If fire gets to your head, it will burn your head. Yes, so that's a good use of figure of speech. Look at verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Was there wind from heaven? That wasn't what they were speaking about. Like as of a rushing mighty wind. Yeah, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. It will mean that those that could see these things were not people that were unbelievers. Yeah, I think we did a teaching on that in concerning spirituals. Look at verse 3. And they appeared unto them, cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Look at it, verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. It doesn't mean that, look at it, it doesn't mean that there was a time where Holy Spirit now poured himself like a jar, then he now completed it in verse 4. That's a figure of speech also. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began, what is, they were all filled, that is, they began to speak with other tongues. Hallelujah. So when the Bible says be filled with the Holy Ghost, what does it mean? It is to what? Demonstrate something that that others can see. We saw that predominant in the book of Acts. So the book of Acts chapter 2 verse 2 and 3, or 3 and 4 rather, was explained or showing the fulfillment of Luke 24:49. Okay, if I go back to that Acts 1. Go back to Acts 1. Look at Acts 1 chapter 4, 5 and 8. Look at Acts 1, 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he have heard of me. What is the promise of the Father? We saw that in Acts 2. And the day of Pentecost was fully come. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at verse 8. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. It's unfortunate right now that what we use this power to do, we use it to do every other thing in this life apart from the ministry of reconciliation. Jesus, the scripture says, when you receive power, you will be an evangelist. That's what it clearly means. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and to the uttermost part of the earth. But now, we see saints that don't use that power for the work of ministry, but yet want to or claim to use it for their, you know, whatever they use it for. So, Acts 2 is showing the fulfillment of what? Acts 1 and Luke 24 verse 49. So, we see the fulfillment of what? The promise of the Holy Ghost as an utterance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when the Bible says you shall receive power, what is, how do we see that fulfillment? If you look at a man and preach the gospel to him, there is nothing about his physical body that will make you know when the Spirit begins to indwell him. Hallelujah. There is nothing about his physical body that will make you know, because there are things that happen in the spiritual realm, so to say. But how do we know a man is filled with the Holy Ghost? We see it as a fulfillment, or we see the fulfillment in the activities of men. Hallelujah. Yeah, so we see that there was an utterance. They were filled. What is filled? That is, they began to speak. Look at Acts 11. Look at Acts 11, 15. Look at Acts chapter 11, verse 15. See what it says. It says, "And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning." Yeah, what was at the beginning? It was referring to Acts 1, 2. So it means that the apostles saw the work of Christ as a beginning of a new era. So when it says at the beginning, that wasn't speaking about Genesis. That was speaking about what? Upon resurrection. So upon the resurrection, the saint has a new life. Glory to God. So look at it again. You see, "And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on the beginning." Now, what is being said there? So Peter is saying that in the beginning, the Holy Ghost fell. What did Luke explain Holy Ghost fell in Acts 2? They began to speak with tongues. They began to speak with tongues. So when you see, look at it. If you go back to read Acts chapter 2 and chapter 1, you will not see the Holy Ghost will fall or the Holy Ghost fell. But Peter is now recounting that encounter. Hey, that's right here. "And as I began to speak, rather, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning." What was the Holy Ghost fell as in Acts 2? Glory to God. Look at verse 16. "Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost." Hallelujah. So if you note carefully, it's not that. If you observe carefully, a lot of ceremonies that were done were still celebrated. After all, that Pentecost was a ceremony that was initiated from Exodus. So Acts 2. So it was on the day of that ceremony that what there was what you call Pentecost, that there was a giving of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, that was a manifestation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So the ceremonies were celebrated: circumcision, the head shaving, washing of hands, washing of body, and things like that. The Passover also was celebrated. It is important to note that none of these ceremonies started with Jesus. And Jesus never instructed that this ceremony should continue. So ideally, what was to happen was that John's baptism and the ceremonies, which we've seen as to be pointers to the reality, they were to end upon what? Christ's coming and resurrection. So John's baptism, which really was a baptism unto repentance, was to officially come to an end with the four Gospels. However, we see that it continued. So the apostles who you look up to, who you and I will look up to, they also continued baptism in water. Remember, you are to make sure that you separate water and baptism always in your head. You are to make sure you put water one side, baptism one side. Such that anytime you see water, you don't think baptism. And anytime you see baptism, you don't think water. Now, sometimes you see water and think baptism, but you must think of baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now, sometimes you see baptism, you don't see water, but you must think of baptism of the Holy Ghost. Look at Acts 2. Go back to Acts 2:38. So, we're trying to examine God's word now and revisit the book of Acts. Look at Acts 2, verse 38. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Look at Acts 2:38. Carefully look at Acts 2, verse 38. So, what it says there? It says, "Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you." Was Peter saying, "Repent and be baptized with water, every one of you, in the name of Jesus"? Remember, we established you cannot baptize anybody with water into Jesus. So if you take an unbeliever and put him inside water and dip him out in the name of the Father, the name of the Son, whatever you care, whatever you want to say, yeah, if you put him inside, it doesn't mean when he comes out of the water, he is baptized into the name. Galatians 3 shows us, for as many of us that have believed, we've put on Christ. So you must believe to put on Christ. You must believe to be baptized into Christ. So Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you." Remember, we established that water doesn't solve remission of sins. Water doesn't provide forgiveness of sins. The only thing that provides forgiveness of sins is the work of Christ, that is the giving of the Spirit. Look at it again. So then Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you." Look at what it says. What did he say be baptized in? He didn't say be baptized, every one of you, in water. He says be baptized, every one of you, in the name, in the work, in the reputation, in that great reputation of Christ. See it carefully. He says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remissions of sins. For him to say remissions of sins, he couldn't have been speaking about water. Yeah, because water, Peter knows well that water cannot do anything to the heart of a man. So, what did he say? Now, look, see verse 37. What happened? Peter finished teaching. Where did he teach from? From Psalm 16. Yeah, what now happened in verse 37? So, Peter finished a great sermon. Verse 37. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. And they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what should we do? So, when they had heard the message, when Peter had finished preaching, they were pricked in their hearts. So they asked, what should we do? What shall we do? Peter clearly knows that for them to ask, what should they do? He couldn't have been telling them, go and enter water, dear saints. People were entering water before this time. Hallelujah. So when he says, what shall we do? Look at verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent, that is, be baptized, every one of you, in the work of Christ. Why? For the remissions of sin, remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So when you are baptized, you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 39. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that were afar or that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Glory to God. So there was a promise. What was the promise? The promise was about the Holy Ghost. Yeah, so remember, Psalms 51, verse 10 to 11. David will say, create in me a new heart, O Lord. Renew your right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, O Lord. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Yeah, Ezekiel, as a prophet, prophesied better. He said, Jesus, as an utterance, he said, God said what? I will sprinkle clean water on them. What is sprinkling clean water on them? It is figurative for, I will give them a new heart. So a saint is not to sing, create in me a new heart, O Lord. No, God cannot create in the saint a new heart. The saint already has a new heart. The reason why saints who have a new heart do evil is because they've not paid attention to the newness of their heart. Hallelujah. So a saint does not need a new heart. A saint needs to be reminded of the newness of his heart. So Ezekiel said, I'll sprinkle clean water on them. I'll give them a new heart. What is really giving a new heart? Giving a new heart is what? I will put my spirit in them. So David said, cast me not away. The saint can never be casted away. Jesus can never say to a saint, I never knew you. It is impossible. We've seen that already in scriptures. You should lay your hands on the New Man series. We've seen that clearly in scriptures, that Jesus can never say to a man who was once saved as a believer, I never knew you. It is impossible. He goes as far to show that our God is not strong and able enough to keep the salvation of men. Hallelujah. So look at Acts 2. When he says be baptized, can you see the word baptized is mentioned? Did he speak about water? No. We are revisiting the book of Acts. Why? So, a very good way to see clearly that water could not have been associated with that baptism is he mentioned remissions of sins. Dear saint, the only way a saint has remission of sin or a man has remission of sin is by the work of Christ in the giving of the Spirit. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, not whosoever shall get himself baptized in water shall not perish. A man who believes in the work of Christ has received remission of sins forever. He can never be unsaved. Glory to God. So when he says be baptized, every one of you, it is to be baptized into the name of Jesus. So how is he baptized? A man is baptized by believing. Go to Mark 16 verse 15. Mark 16, 15. Mark 16, 15. And Jesus said unto them, go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 16, he that believeth, that is baptized. That word there, and, is a word that shows an explanation of what was said before. It's not this word, kai, is not always speaking about two different words. So he that believes, is baptized, is saved. So how is a man baptized in the name of the Son? He is baptized, what? By believing. So go back to Acts 2. Look at Acts 2:38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. That couldn't have been water. look at it carefully. Look at verse 41. They that gladly received these words were baptized. Can you see that? Verse Mark 16, 15, 16. He that believes is baptized. He that believes is baptized. So a good way to mix Acts 2 and Mark 16 is, look at verse 41 of Acts 2. Then they that gladly received the word. What does receiving the word mean? It means hearing the word and believing. So Mark 16 can say, and those that hear the word and believe, they are baptized. Or, so when you say, and as many that believe and is baptized, is that as many as believe, which is baptized, you can say, as many as have gladly received the word. They were baptized. Look what it says. And the same day, they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Could it be possible that they asked 3,000 new converts to be doing water baptism? See what it says? It says the same day. That same day is not figurative. Think about it. What time, do you understand what that means? What time did Peter most likely start preaching? What time did the sermon end? Remember, this was actually the same day, you know, this was the same day when Peter was trying to explain what happened in Acts 1, 2 to 5. Hallelujah. Explaining Joel's prophecy and David's prophecy. So that same day, imagine, it was that day you had the things like manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit. The same day he did a powerful sermon. The same day he preached. So how many hours did they possibly have in their day? Glory to God. Yeah, so then they that gladly received this word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and in prayer. So you will see breaking of bread. So breaking of bread in the book of Acts is not speaking or always speaking about Holy Communion. You see, we've mixed out so many words together in scriptures. So we've equated the Lord's Supper to be equal to Holy Communion and to be equal to breaking of bread. Yeah, hold your thoughts. We're going to explain that in our second series, 3B. Hallelujah. So we see that they were baptized. Yes, the remission of sins was received. So it means that we can actually replace or change the word baptized to clean or wash. Okay, let's read it again. So let's try in our narrative, have three words in our mind. Anytime we see baptized, we try to replace it with either washed or clean. Hallelujah. So look at it again. Look at verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be cleaned or cleansed, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. Let's read it better. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be washed, every one of you, for the remission of sins. What wash away your sin? Remember that song. What can take away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not Dabi Lake water. Not River Jordan's water. There is only one thing that takes away sins, which is the blood, which is actually figurative for the Spirit given. So then Peter said, repent and be clean or be cleansed or be washed, every one of you. In fact, go to Titus 3. Go to Titus chapter 3. Look at what it says there. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice, envy, hateful, and hating one another. Verse 4, but after that the kindness and love of God our Savior towards man appeared. What is the kindness and love of God of our Savior? What is that? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. That is God showing his kindness and love to mankind. So, what did he say? He said, Paul tells Titus, but after that, the kindness and love of our God, yeah, to appear towards all men. Look at verse 5. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. How did he save us? By the washing of regeneration. So, how is the saint washed? He is what? Look at it. Washing of regeneration, that is the renewing of the Holy Ghost. What is renewing of the Holy Ghost? Simply the giving of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. It's simply the giving of the Holy Ghost. So we see that according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing. What washed us? Look at it. It is the giving of the Holy Ghost. How do you know? Verse 6, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So he didn't say we have now saved by the washing by water. No, by the cleaning of water or by the baptism of water. No. So we are saved by the baptism of regeneration. What is baptism of regeneration? It will mean the giving of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Go back to Acts. Go back to Acts 2. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise be God. Look at Acts 2:38. Yeah, so Peter said unto them, repent and be, what is repent? Repent, that is, be baptized, that is, be washed, that is, be cleansed, every one of you in the name. The only thing that this will seem in the heart and mind of men or man or a man is what? The giving of the Spirit, the work of the cross, the resurrection after the work of the cross. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So look at it. Verse 41. We can read it better. Then they that gladly received his word were washed. How were they washed? They were washed by believing or gladly receiving the work or the message of the work about the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. So then they that gladly received his word, they were cleansed, they were baptized, they were washed. So a good way to read verse 41, look at it again. Then they that gladly received his word, they were washed. And the same day, they that were washed were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Hallelujah. So we see that nobody preached washing of body as remission of sins. You cannot see water in reference to forgiveness of sins. Water doesn't deal with sins. He said, repent. Yeah, what does it mean to repent? It means to change your perception or to change your slant in your mind or in your heart. So if you believe the gospel, you are washed. What washes you? It is the work of Christ. Yeah? Look at 1 Corinthians 6, quickly. Look at 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11. Look at 1 Corinthians 6, 11. Look at 1 Corinthians 6, 11. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord. What is the name of the Lord? The reputation of the Lord. So you are justified on account of the reputation of that great name, the work of Christ. You are sanctified on reputation of that name. Paul explains it better. He says, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is by the Spirit of our God. So we are washed by the Spirit. We are never washed by water. So, and such were some of you, but ye are washed. So, can we say this way? Some were some of you, but ye are cleansed. Or you are clean right now. Yeah, you are washed, you are clean, but ye are baptized. Glory to God. So, they were to be baptized through his preaching. Why? Now, go back to Acts 2. Look at Acts 2. Then verse 41, then they that gladly received his word, they were baptized. What now? What did Jesus say should be baptism? Baptism is when you believe the word. Mark 16, we just saw that. So were they to be baptized? Yes. How were they to be baptized? They were to be baptized by the preaching of Peter. How were they not to be baptized? They were not to be baptized by the dipping in water. So remember, we already established Peter had just finished explaining what happened on the day of Pentecost. He just finished teaching from Joel and teaching from the book of Psalm 16. What was expected? Baptism was what was left. How were they to be baptized? They were to be baptized by what? The preaching of Peter. So go back to Mark 16. Go back to Mark 16, 15. Go back to Mark 16, verse 15. So what it says, and he said unto them, go ye into the world, verse 15, and preach the gospel to every creature. Look at now. So let's replace that word baptized with washed or clean or cleansed. Right? So let's read it together. 1, 2, 3, go. Verse 16. He that believeth and is washed. Are we together? He that believeth and is saved. Yeah? He that believeth is saved. He that believeth and is washed. You believe. In believing, you get washed. What are you washed by? By the work of Christ. So it will mean that the baptism in Acts was speaking about spiritual, not physical. Hallelujah. You know, you see, let's stick with Bible narratives. Look at Luke 24. Look at Luke 24. Look at Luke 24. And that repentance and, again, so it will mean that Acts chapter 2, when Peter said, repent and be baptized, what for what? The remission of sins. It means that it is the same thing we see similar in Luke 24 verse 47. And who is talking here? Jesus. And look at verse 46. Yeah, look at verse 45. Then open he their understanding that they might understand scriptures. What does that mean? He opened for the first time the explanation and the what? Expounding of the Old Testament books. And they understood for the first time what the prophets and Moses were saying. What were they saying? Verse 46. And he said unto them, thus it is written. So what were they saying? It is written. What they were saying is what is about to say, which was written. And thus, it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Look at it again. Yeah, look at verse 7. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in the name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Are we together? Should be preached, not applied by water. So he didn't say repentance and remission of sins should be applied to people by water. He didn't say that people will receive remission of sins by dipping themselves in water. Remission of sins should be preached. In the preaching of remission of sins, we see that the saint is baptized, the saint is washed, the saint is made clean, the saint is made cleansed, the saint is cleansed, the saint is justified, the saint is sanctified, the saint is baptized in the name of the Son. So, when the message of the work of Christ is preached, and the recipient who listens believes, he's been baptized, he's clean forever. He doesn't need to waste his time putting himself in water. Yeah, I'll say that again. He doesn't need to waste his time to put himself in water. Remember in our last teaching we said, what is best for a man who does believe is to teach him more of God's word, for him to what? Understand the fullness of what he has already believed. So, you get a man saved, don't look for water. Look for the nearest Bible and expound unto him scriptures. Jesus, in his 40 days teaching, he did that to people that were unbelievers that just believed. In fact, a lot of them just believed after he taught. In fact, you could even see that after he finished teaching, a lot of them still went back to ask about kingdom takeover. So, we see that John didn't baptize. Remember in John's teaching, you know, it will be good to lay your hands on the preceding teachings. Remember in John's teaching, John didn't baptize with water for people to be cleansed from their sins. What happened that day? They were coming to confess their sins, but he was using water, showing a symbol to what will happen in their hearts upon the resurrection of Christ. So, John didn't use water to save anybody from sins. Jesus didn't do water to save anyone from sins. So, if you want to tell, for you to defend that water baptism is something to be done, you need to tell me that you can go to the street and get a man into water, and once you put him inside and come out, he's saved. Yeah, so, you see, as saints, we are to think on the things we say and the things we do. Water has no impact on the heart of men. Water has no impact on the newness or the newness of life that is received by a man. If you look at it carefully, Jesus spoke more about faith in reference to forgiveness of sins. So, how does a man receive forgiveness of sins? By faith, by believing. By believing in what? Believing in the work of Christ as coming to die for the sins of man. You know, it becomes very interesting. We live in a generation right now and say, people say things like, Jesus did not die and resurrect for just sin. You have made sin to be just. Sin is just. Eh? Jesus did not die for just sins. He died for sins and died for my prosperity. Jesus did not die for prosperity. You need to twist the Bible to get to such conclusions. You see, as a lot of us like holding up to false hope. If you are listening to this teacher right now, and let's assume you have money in your account, think about it. You can trace where your money came from. You are working and you have a source of income. You didn't get that money because you are a saint. You didn't get that money before Christ died, because Christ died. You are doing a business, you are doing a job, you are being paid for your work. Let's assume you have money. Now, think about us that don't have money. Yeah, so what happens? Yeah, the blood has not worked. You know, it's very, very interesting to have such slant. So, people begin saying things like, oh, Jesus did not just die. Jesus did not just die. Jesus died. And Jesus died primarily for sin. And primarily for sin. Then prosperity. We like playing too much. Jesus died for one thing, that is sin, and to give man eternal life. You see, people don't even understand what eternal life is. See, do you know what it is to have eternal life? That means you have the life of God. We don't value that enough. We are looking for money. Is it wrong to look for money? Not at all. You want to make money, go work. Simple. Yeah, you want to make money, go into business. Simple. You want to make money? Yeah, clean your heart from covetousness and materialism and go into business. That is the earthly and godly way to make money. You know, someone said the person said, yeah, if everything you have in your life, yeah, you have to work for it, then you're under a curse. Yeah, if all you have in your life, you have to work for it. So, does that not encourage armed robbery? An armed robber that comes to rob in your house, and he takes your property, did you work for it? It means that he is not under curse. You see, the things we say, we don't know the gross implication of the things we say. Hallelujah, glory to God. Yeah, so Christ died for the forgiveness of sins. Christ resurrected for the forgiveness of sins. Not primarily for sins, then material. No, that's an erroneous teaching. That's an, it's even very interesting to even see that a lot of us that hold on to such false doctrine, we don't have any money in our account with all the years we've lived on earth. It's not an insult. It's for you to think about the reality. You see, hallelujah. Yeah. So look at Luke 5. So remember, we're saying something. Yeah, Jesus always spoke about faith in reference to forgiveness of sins, right? So look at Luke 5:20. Look at Luke chapter 5, verse 20. Look at Luke 5:20. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven. What was sin? Faith. What was received? Sins forgiven. Okay, look at Mark 2:5. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, what? He said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins are forgiven. Look at it carefully. What did he see? He saw their faith. What was happening to that man? Sickness. What did he say? Thy sins be forgiven. You see, every miraculous activity that Jesus did on earth all pointed to the supernatural activity of forgiveness of sins. All sins, all sicknesses. Yes, so the Christ come to die for sickness of man. Yes, what sickness of man did Christ die for? He came to die for the sickness in the heart of man, which is actually the sickness of sin. Yeah, by that power, we're empowered to heal all types of sicknesses. But Christ died and resurrected for sin. For sin. If Christ died for sicknesses, which is, I'm talking about malaria and cancer, no Christian on earth should ever die. No Christian on earth should die at a young age for a sickness. No Christian on earth should be sick at all. So, look at it. So, we see clearly that nobody is asked to do anything for sins. What you are to do for sins is faith. Look at John 4. Look at John 4:39. All we are asked to do concerning our sins is what? To believe. There is not a single scripture that teaches that the saint is to confess or do anything or to try and stop sinning before he receives forgiveness of sins. No. A man receives forgiveness of sins by believing in the work of Christ. See verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed. What is that? They had faith. Believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified. Yet he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there for 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. So what did they believe? They believed his word. Verse 42. And said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know. Can you see that? So it looked like they. So look at verse 40. If you read verse 40, verse 39, it makes it look as if it is because the woman shared her testimony that so many were saved. Look at it again in verse 42. And said unto the woman. So look at it, verse 41. And many more believed because of his own words. Who is his own words? There is Jesus' words. Verse 42. And said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of your saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. What is saying there? Believe. Look at Luke 18:13. It says, and the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but he smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Look at verse 14. What did Jesus say? I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. What justified him? What? A believing, a heart. So we see that nobody went through traditions or traditional acts or rites or traditional activities to receive forgiveness of sins. Look at John 9:36. Look at John chapter 9, verse 36. Look at John 9:36. Yeah, then he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, verse 37, yeah, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. Look at verse 38. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Look at verse 39. And Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be, what? Made blind. Yeah, it's not saying that Jesus came to make people blind. Yeah, that would be figurative for what? Those that receive the gospel and reject the gospel. Hallelujah. What did Jesus see? I believe. Yeah, what did Jesus see in verse 38? And he said, Lord, I believe. Look at verse Luke 23:42. Luke 23, verse 42. Look at Luke 23, verse 42. Look at Luke 23, verse 42. It says, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Yeah? And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Yeah? And it was about the sixth hour, yeah? And there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. What did Jesus see? Believe. Nothing about water. Jesus couldn't have asked that guy to come down from the cross, right? And put him inside water. That wasn't what happened. So go back to Acts 2, where we really are. Acts 2:38. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Look at Acts 2, verse 38. Look at Acts 2:38. See what it says. Then Peter, yes, said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Remember, when this was happening, where were they? They were in the temple. They were in the temple, Acts 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So 3,000 men will not queue up definitely and not ask them. Look. Okay, think about it this way. Think about it this way. Okay, I think we might just need to go. Let's try backtrack a little. Look at Acts 2:1. Look at Acts 2:1. Look at Acts 2:1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. That means they were all in the temple. Where was the temple? Solomon's porch, right? Look at verse 2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, figure of speech, as a rushing mighty wind. Verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. That is, they began to speak with other tongues. Look at verse 5. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under the heavens. What does that mean? In the city of Jerusalem where this was happening, there were men from other cities that were there. Look at it, verse 6. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, yeah, because that every man had heard them speak his own language. Why did they hear them speak their own language? Remember, they were people of the same nativity, or people from the same. Look at the only people that celebrate Pentecost are definitely people from the same ancestral lineage. So it would mean that people that were there, they had something in common and they knew about that thing called Pentecost because they came back home for Pentecost. So when is every man heard them speak his own language, what were they hearing? They were hearing their Jewish language. What does that mean? Tongues and interpretation was happening in Acts 2. We are doing a very quick summary on Acts 2. Yeah, you want to lay your hands on now concerning spirituals. So look at it. So it wasn't that they were hearing different languages. They were hearing their language. They were hearing tongues. It's not that tongues is different language. The moment anything you call tongues can be understood, yeah, or it is a different language, that is not tongues. And every language you are speaking in form of tongues is not tongues. So what was happening? They were speaking in tongues. Verse 4, they began to speak with other tongues. That word, their other tongues, remember, Mark 16 shows us that they shall speak with new tongues. It is a tongue that is unique to the saint that has the indwelling of the spirit. So when it says that every man heard them speak his own language, it wasn't saying that they were speaking Chinese, Yoruba, Igbo together. No, there was something called tongues and interpretation. That was why people could hear their words. Look at verse 7. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these we speak Galileans? Look at verse 8. And how hear we every man in our own language? Look at it. They now said our own language. What is our own language? It is the interpretation of the tongues they were speaking. Look at it. Our own language wherein we were born. So Parthians, Medes, Elamites, dwellers of Mesopotamia and all those kind of things, there were people from different cities who came into the city for the celebration of Pentecost. Look at verse 11. Cretans and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. So people that came from different cities came back for that thing called Pentecost, and they heard a different language they did not know, but they thought they were hearing their own language. In the real sense, they were hearing their own language, but that was because their tongue and interpretation was happening in that meeting. Look at verse 12. And they were all amazed, and they were in doubt, saying one to another. What means this? Others were mocking, saying, these men are full of new wine. Yeah, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them. So Peter started explaining what was happening. Verse 15, for these are not drunken, as is supposed, saying that it is but the third hour of the day. But this is what which was spoken by the prophet. It shall come to pass in the last day, I shall pour out my spirit upon all flesh, your sons and daughters. Remember that teaching? Yeah, it's not saying that your gardeners will be the ones that will receive the spirit, but your sons will only prophesy and the young men will see visions. No, they are one and the same. Look at it again. So remember, so he now finished. Look at verse 22. He now explains another thing. Hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God amongst you, you know, by signs and wonders. He was delivered by the determining counsel of foreknowledge of God. Yeah, you've taken by wicked hands. So Peter was explaining what happened on the day of Pentecost, right? Now, is it from that narrative when they came? We see clearly that they came and they were asking themselves questions about an activity they saw, which had to do with an utterance, tongues, and interpretation. They did not come together and some people on a lie. You know, sir, I beg, brother, what's happening in front? See, my brother, they're sharing salvation. And our baptism is just a wait for now salvation. No, they are giving salvation. They're giving salvation at the front. Yeah, it doesn't make sense. 3,000 men did not come together and they were watching a queue or they were on a queue and people were now saying, now salvation, is salvation that's happening there? No. What was happening? It was the promise of God, which is the promise of the Father, which is the promise of the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise be God. Hallelujah. Remember, this promise of the Father has been before what time? The promise of the Father had been, yeah, from the beginning. Look at Isaiah 1:16. Look at Isaiah 1:16. Look at Isaiah 1:16. Remember, wash number Isaiah 1:16-19. Look how it says, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes, and cease to do evil. Yeah, what was the evil they were doing? They were really bringing sacrifices. Yeah, God did not ask anybody to bring sacrifice to him. Hallelujah. Yeah, God did not ask anybody to bring an animal as a sacrifice to him. Yeah, rather, he gave himself as a sacrifice to the hearts of men. So, wash yourself, make yourself clean. What does it mean to wash and make yourself clean? Actually, put away the evil from your doing. How do you, when you put away evil, there's something else you have to do. You have to learn to do well in verse 17. What is learning to do well? You seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, and plead for the widow. Look at verse 18. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet. What does that mean? Even though your sins be as red, no matter how grievous your sins are, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be as red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If thou be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. He's not saying if you obey God, you will have contract. There are a lot of times you obey God, you don't have contract. When he says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Good of the land is not job, is not a husband, is not car, is not money, is not estate. It's not oil business, it's not oil block, it's not oil field. It's not a governmental appointment. No. The good of the land is the good of the land, which is what? If your sins be as red, they will be as white. The good of the land is forgiveness of sins. Oh, glory to God. That's the good of the land. That's the good of the land. So if you be willing, it's not saying if you serve God, if you are willing and now go to the office, if you are willing and you obey God, yeah, if your pastor say go and clean the toilet and you go there and obey, see, you can clean the toilet all the days of your life and not have more than 100,000 in your entire life. I mean, there are people that do that. Why don't you think this thing is true? There are people, you know yourself, there are people who serve God more than you, but even the little you have, they don't have quarter of what you have. Think about it. There is nothing like, because you serve God, you will have the good of the land. I'll get job. Yeah, because I'm serving the living, I'm serving the Lord of miracles. I know, yes, I know. Yeah, because I serve that one, you will not. No. Dear saints, what is forgiveness? Or what is the eating the good of the land? Is believing the gospel. What is the good of the land? The good of the land is God giving himself as the bread of life. John 6. So a man who believes on the bread of life has eaten the bread of life, and he has eaten the good of the land. Hallelujah. Look at Jeremiah 2. Look at Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah 2 verse 22. Look at Jeremiah 2 22. For though thou wash thee with nitre, yeah, and take thee much soap, yet thy iniquity is marked before me, saith the Lord. What does that mean? Physical things don't take away sins. Look at it. It clearly is in the Bible. For though you wash yourself with nitre or take thee with much soap, even if you do what, so remember, when you do water baptism, nobody uses soap to wash you. God is even saying, even with soap, your iniquities are not still gone. Your iniquities are not still gone. Glory to God. Look at Jeremiah 4:14. Look at Jeremiah 4, verse 14. Yeah, O Jerusalem, wash thy heart from wickedness. Wash their heart from wickedness, that thou mayest be saved. What is washing your heart from wickedness? It is to believe the washing that has come upon resurrection. How long shall thy vain thoughts lodge within thee? Glory to God. Look at Psalm 51 verse 1. 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 Look at it. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. How does God have mercy? He has mercy according to his loving kindness and according to his multitude of his mercies. Blot out my transgressions. When he says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sins. Would that be water? It can't be water. It can't be water. This is prophetic concerning the what? Resurrection of Christ. Look at verse 7. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. They're saying, leaf doesn't make you clean. Water doesn't make you clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. What did Isaiah 1:16-19 say? He says, I will make you white as snow. If you can come, let us reason together. In making you white as snow, you have eaten the good of the land, which is forgiveness of sins. So Psalm 51 cannot be, when it says, in as much as it says wash, it cannot be water. Can water make you white as snow? Look at it again. Purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Can water even make you as white as snow? Talk more of whiter than snow. That's figurative for the resurrection of our Lord and King. Look at Mark 7:4. Look at Mark chapter 7, verse 4. You know, hallelujah. Mark 7, verse 4. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. So it means that, okay. So now, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be which they have received to hold. That means there are traditions they received to hold. That means there were ceremonial washings to represent spiritual purification, so to say. That means there is a ceremony. That means Moses gave them some ceremonial practices that were properly practiced. And even at the time of Jesus, they were still practiced. Look at, Jesus explains that properly. Look at the same Mark 7 verse 9. Look at it. And Jesus said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God, that ye may keep your own traditions. What is the commandment of God? Yeah, love. Yeah, as seen in 1 John. So what were they to do? They were to what? Receive of God's commandment. What is God's commandment? It's God's charge. God's what? God's charge, God's instruction, God's offering. Look at verse 18. And he said unto them, are ye so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into a man, it cannot defile him? So what defiles a man is not something physical. What cleanses him is not something physical. What defiles a man cannot be something physical. What defiles a man cannot be something physical. Remember, now, when I say what defiles a man, it will be in reference to God. Yeah, I'm not saying that food you eat cannot make you purge. Yeah, what defiles a man to God is what is not a physical thing that enters into his mouth or a physical thing that touches his body. Hallelujah. Look at Matthew. Look at the book of Matthew 23:25. Matthew chapter 23, verse 25. Look at Matthew 23, verse 25. Look at Matthew 23, verse 25. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excesses. Thou blind Pharisees, these are people that will clearly see. But what did he say? Blind Pharisees. Cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Hallelujah. Look at it, verse 27. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto a whitened sepulchre, which indeed appears beautiful outwards, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. What is he trying to teach? No matter what you do to your physical body, it can never affect your heart. It can only show something about your physical body, at least even if it does. Look at verse 25 again. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. What is he saying? You pick a cup, imagine, you want to use a cup and drink water. You wash only the outside, you leave the inside. That's what Jesus is narrating them to be. Glory to God. Look at verse 26. Thou blind Pharisees, cleanse first that which is within. What is it? Salvation is a within to outside, not an out. Okay, let me say this way. Salvation must happen first within, then we see the replication, or we see a life from that thing that's happened within. That's why it says, work out your salvation. Yeah, that teaching of last week. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God that worketh it in you. Yeah, you are to work out what has been worked in. So Jesus is saying to them, yeah, verse 26, cleanse first that which is within. So the most important part of a cup is actually within. What you want to, a cup you want to use to drink water is the inside first. Look at 27. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you are hypocrites, for ye are like unto whitened sepulchres. Yeah, what are sepulchres? Graves. Yeah, which indeed from outside a grave appears beautiful, but within it is full of dead men's bones and of all forms of uncleanness. Even so ye also, look at verse 28, outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisies and iniquity. A man can come and take a picture of him being dipped inside water, but his heart is full of hypocrisy, his heart is full of sin, and he is unrighteous. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So whatever is done outwardly has no effect. Glory to God. That you make a graveyard very beautiful doesn't mean that the bone inside the graveyard will be preserved. The only baptism that washes inside, yeah, is the baptism of forgiveness of sins, baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's baptism of the Spirit. Water can never make your heart. So anybody that goes for water baptism, you are just really washing yourself outside. So if you have not believed the gospel, you are an unbeliever who went to practice John's baptism. Hallelujah. A man who gives himself, or a man who goes for water baptism and has not believed the gospel, is a man who is an unbeliever that is doomed for what? Destruction, and is doomed for wrath until he repents. But he goes into water to baptize or to practice John's baptism. You see, I keep saying something. We have lots of people that are saints that are in the mocks today. Yeah, those people you say that I was not a believer, I'm not a believer. Yeah, a man won't save the saved forever. And we have people who are not saved, but they are in the church. That might interest you to know, but this is the truth. Why? Because you are to believe on one work. So, think about it. We have men who come to church, not because of forgiveness of sins, but they come to church because the man that preached to them told them that a life with Christ, a life without Christ will be full of crisis. And they literally check their life and they realize that actually they are in crisis. Yeah, no money anywhere. So, a man who hears that gospel and says he comes to church, he's not saved. He's not saved. What makes it worse if that is what the pastor that he meets in church is still preaching. Yeah, you cannot be in Christ and suffer. You are lying, sir. Yeah, you cannot be in Christ and be sick. You are lying. You are lying, sir. Eh? You are lying, ma. You are lying. Yeah, you cannot be in Christ and not have money. You cannot be in Christ and your needs will not be met. You are lying, sir. You are lying, ma. Yeah, that's a lie. Look at Luke 11:37. And as he spake, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him. And he went in and he sat down to meat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they were marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. Verse 39. And the Lord said unto him, now do ye Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but you, your inward part is full of raving and wickedness. Ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? Yet, what is he saying? We have lots of hypocrites who judge others for what? Sinning different from what they are sinning, or different from their sins, different from the sins they are battling with. So, whatever is done to your physical body doesn't affect your heart. It has no effect on your heart. A man is saved by believing and believing alone that Christ died for forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, we see that on the day of Pentecost, so was there water baptism? Let's assume we don't know. But the baptism that Peter spoke about in Acts 2:38-41 is baptism of what? The Holy Ghost, not of water. Let's assume there was a way they baptized 3,000 people. But we have no record of that. The baptism Peter spoke about was baptism of the Holy Ghost. Remember, he was explaining what the promise of the Father that happened in Acts 2 verse 1 to 5 when they were speaking in tongues, other tongues, and they were interpreting their tongues. So, John never called his water baptism that it would take away sin. What did he say? Look at even John in his water and in the activity of his water, what did he say? He says, behold the Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. It means that before Jesus came and was revealed, it means that even his practice, he knew he could not take away sins. He never thought that water takes away sins. If he thought, he would not have said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Do it together with my water baptism. No. So, the water of John couldn't have taken away the sins of man. So, when you go back to, so let's try tying the knot around here. Go back to Acts 2. Acts 2:41. Look at Acts 2:41. Then they that gladly received his word, they were baptized. You know, people say things like, if you have not, if you don't work for water baptism, you cannot join the workforce, you know. that's such a very, yeah, imagine, people cannot work for God because they've not gone into water. Yeah, you know, so I mean, different if you say you cannot, you will not serve, you know, which is actually still, you know, but yeah, it's still very interesting, you know, but it's different if you haven't said, actually, you must listen to these three series before you join the workforce. It makes more sense, you know, and you know, that would be if the idea is actually for people that are joining newly to be able to catch up with messages they've missed out on. But to say that a man cannot serve God without putting himself in water would actually be very an unscriptural thing to say. Remember from scriptures, we are all baptized by one spirit. We are all baptized by one spirit into the work of Christ. Into the work of Christ. Into the work of Christ. Look at Acts 3:19. Look at Acts 3, the next chapter. Acts 3 verse 19. Look at it. Acts 3 verse 19. Look at Acts 3:19. It says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Yeah, what is time of refreshing? It's really about it's really about the work of Christ. Yeah. So see verse 19 carefully. Look at verse 19 carefully. Look at Acts 3 verse 19. Let's read verse 19 and 20 carefully. It says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." So what does repent and be converted mean? Can we replace that word converted with the word change? Or can we replace that word with the word baptized? Or can we replace converted with the word washed? So repent ye therefore and be washed. Hallelujah. How is a man washed? He is washed by believing the gospel. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So repent ye therefore and be washed. So look at it again. Repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Look at it carefully. A good way to read that would be, that word here, may be blotted out, will actually be being blotted out. Look at it carefully. So, okay, let's take it gradually. The presence of the Lord, what is presence of the Lord? Is what? The resurrection of Jesus. Right? Remember, we've done that teaching already. In the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. What does that mean? Upon the resurrection of Christ from the grave. Yeah, the saint who believes that, or the man who believes that, has fullness of joy. Remember, we said he's not talking about Sunday morning. So the appearance or the presence of the Lord there will be the appearance of Jesus from the dead. Look at it again. So repent ye therefore. So a good way to read that would be, repent ye therefore and be washed, that your sins being converted or being blotted out, when the times of refreshing, or now the time of refreshing has come, that is by the appearance of Jesus. Okay, I think we'll look at this properly. So imagine Peter now uses that word converted instead of baptized. So the same thing he said in Acts 2:38-41, he said repent and be baptized. What did he call it in Acts 3:19? Repent ye therefore and be converted. What is converted? To be baptized. What is baptized? To be changed. What does it mean to be changed? What does it mean to be changed? It means to repent. What does it mean to repent? To change of, it speaks about a change of a condition or change of condition. Let's try tying a knot around here and we'll continue on Wednesday. Yeah, we've seen that the apostles never used water baptism for forgiveness of sins. They might have used water baptism after forgiveness of sins. Philip, remember the example of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, after he believed. The Ethiopian eunuch asked, "Can I not be baptized?" We see Peter after he asked 10, when he finished preaching in Cornelius' house, yeah, they believed, they spoke in tongues, then they asked to be baptized. Hallelujah. So we see that apostles never use water baptism as touching salvation, in as much as they still practice water baptism. It's been a pleasure to bring God's word your way. Have a beautiful day. Cheers.